Welcome, welcome. Hey, hey. Hi, everyone. That's the Bee Gees singing about staying alive. Our show today is to help you stay alive, to avoid certain things that we're going to talk about, concussions, injuries, sports injuries, and how to take care of yourself better. We're going to talk about Muhammad Ali. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is called Healthy Aging, and Let's Create a Better World. Stephon Rudolph, our co-host, will be on also to talk about Junior Seau and football injuries. But I'll be talking mostly about boxing and Muhammad Ali, his life. This is going to be a good show. I think you're going to like it, so hang with us. We're excited. We're excited every week. We're coming up with new ideas, new things to give you the best information on living longer, on the newest things in health, body, mind, spirit. And we have solutions. Next week's show will be about what's going to happen in the world in the next 10, 15 years. Yes, we're going to have disasters. But we're also looking at some good things that are going to happen after the disasters, how the world may be coming together finally in a more peaceful, harmonious way. It's not going to be easy, but it can happen. There's a movement going on, a major, major movement, energy of young people are making changes, major changes in the world. And people aren't going to stand for the crap that we've been living with. And we're learning more. We've got social media. We've got information going all over the world. All right. So head injuries, brain injuries, Muhammad Ali, I'm going to talk about his life, a lot of things that you may not have heard. And so our co-host, Stephon Rudolph. Stephon, give us a little capsule of what you're going to talk about.
Yes, Bobby, great to be with you again here on Let's Create a Better World. We're doing all for our health and wellness, and especially related to brain injuries. I went through that myself and can definitely let the listeners know about what to do, what to be aware of, how to live a healthy, safe life when it comes to playing sports and also proper eating habits. I went through epilepsy, so I'm definitely here to talk about what we can do to create a better world and live a better life.
Good. Excellent. That sounds great. You know, for our listeners to know, a few weeks ago we did the show and it didn't come on for some technical reasons. So that's why we're doing this again. It's important issues. Before we get started, let me also remind you that next week we're going to try to have some statistics with you for you about not only Progressive Radio Network, but social media, how this station is the best station in the world and how it's getting better and better and getting more and more people and online of every kind of way. The social media is fantastic. People calling on the number I'm going to give you right now to hear the show on their phone for different reasons. If they don't have a computer or they prefer being out in the field and just calling on their phone to hear the show. All right, here's the number to call. Tell your friends about this. You can call this number anytime and hear a Progressive Radio Network station. The show is going on. The phone number is area 712-775-6850. This show is about health, body, mind, spirit, all the new things in health, living longer and healthier, quality life, and just so many things, exercise, food, supplements. We get into it all, as well as ideas and solutions for the world's problems. We get the best speakers, the best guests, so hang with us. You want to hear good stuff? This is the show. I'm working very dedicatedly along with Stephon and our other staff to give you the best of the best and give you a timely, super educational information to help you in all the things I just said. All right, let's get to our show. We don't have any guests. It's myself and Stephon, but we've done our homework. We've got a lot of good stuff for you, so stay with us. Here we go. Muhammad Ali was born in February of 1942. He died a few weeks ago at age 74. Too many blows to the head. He fought four extra fights that he should have fought, and there were some of the few losses that he had in the world. He lost three of his last four fights. He did it for the money. And that's the story we're giving you today, that too many athletes, be it football, be it any sport, be it soccer even, we're going to get into soccer too also, and boxing. They stay too long. They want to make money. The promoters want to make money. Here's a quick tidbit for you. one of the last few four fights of Muhammad Ali, even though he already had signs of Parkinson's disease, even though his memory was going down, he was getting forgetful, they still let him go in there because he wanted to fight George Foreman for a $10 million gate. This was almost 40 years ago. He should have done it, but the money, you know how athletes, they don't save their money well. He wanted to do it, and of course the promoters, they want to do it too because they make a lot of money. Here's what happened. The doctor saw Muhammad Ali in his room and said, put your finger in your nose. Muhammad Ali could not do it. He could not. And he tried and tried, but the doctor passed him. He should not have let him fight. But because the pressure, the promoters, they said, pass him. This doctor was getting paid well, so he did it. This is terrible. This is how people like Michael Jackson and others have died with too many pills. How that probably killed Marilyn Monroe 50 years ago. These are pills for everything. It's the society we live in. It's terrible. Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Clay in Louisville, Kentucky. He changed his name after his first fight, I believe it was after Sonny Liston, to Muhammad Ali because he became involved with Islam and was a Muslim. And there were a lot of good things about the Muslim history and the life then. Don't believe in all these hearsay you hear about. They're all, because they're not all radicals. They're not all crazy people. There's a few in every group. You just hear more about, in this country, the government, the media point out the wrong things about anybody that we're fighting. They should point out our own faults. The U.S. is more false than any other country in the world. We get into that on this show, by the way. All right, let's get back to Muhammad Ali. He kept winning his fights. His first fight was against Sonny Liston, knocked him out. He said ahead of time that Sonny Liston is the bear, a B-E-A-R, a bear. And that he was pretty, he was the greatest, he was bragging up a storm at age 21. And he believed it. I happen to know Howard Bingham, who grew up in South Central L.A., older than me, but Howard Bingham told me stories about him. Howard Bingham was his photographer, then he became his assistant. He was with him all the time. And he would tell me how a lot of stories, which I'll get into as we go along here. Muhammad Ali is an icon. He's a great, great worldwide, the most famous guy in the world in his day. Here's some other athletes that were famous in their day. Young Jack Johnson, over 100 years ago, boxing champion of the world. White people did not like him at all. They were very racist at the boxing match, but he kept knocking them out. So finally they got somebody to beat him as he was aging. Jesse Owens, another great athlete. In 1936 at the Berlin, Germany Olympics, Hitler was in the stands, and Hitler did not like Jesse Owens or anybody black or anybody Jewish. As you know, he killed many, many Jews, millions. But Jesse Owens won the race. He won a second race. He won a relay. He was a star of the Olympics, and Hitler did not like this, of course. Another great athlete, Jackie Robinson, broke the color barrier, 1947, the Brooklyn Dodgers. He came in. He received a lot of racism and abuse from other players, even on his own team. But he put up with it. Branch Rickey, the owner of the Dodgers, said, you got to just stay clear. Don't fight back. Don't argue. And it was not easy, but Jackie Robinson did what he said. A great, great player. And he, by being the first black, was a great, great example of sometimes enduring the hell you got to endure against racism. Then there's Ali, of course, later. And the last one mentioned would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Changed his name previously to Lou Alcindor, played at UCLA. And when he got later in the pro ranks, he played for the Milwaukee Bucks, became Abdul-Jabbar, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that is. Then he would play for the Lakers. He won a world championship with the Lakers. Ali, let's get back to Ali. I've got so many notes here. This is great stuff. Ali, when he fought against Frazier. Joe Frazier didn't like, these guys hated each other. Joe Frazier and Ali, they were about the same age. Joe Frazier was from Philadelphia. Ali was from all over the world. He was world famous by then. He said this. He said, I'm going to kill this gorilla. It's going to be a thriller, in Manila against a gorilla. Remember, he called Sonny Liston a bear, and now he called this guy a gorilla. He had names for different athletes. I can't remember them all. I can look them up, I suppose. He also predicted what round he would win in, or how he would win. And quite often he was right. Amazing, amazing. Now let's talk about the Vietnam War. As he began to win his fights, by the way, he lost one of his fights to Foreman, to Frazier, but he came back and beat him two more times. He made up for it. It was a close fight that he lost. That was his first loss, I believe. Then the Vietnam War was going on, and the whole country was pro-war against Vietnam. And Muhammad Ali knew better. He was a real activist. He was a real fighter for poor people, for blacks, for people of color. He was a great, great civil rights leader. Yes, he was. He was big time, all over the world. He said this. He said, no Vietnamese ever called me an N-I-G-G-E-R, the N-word. He was right. So why are we going to kill us poor blacks and Latinos and people of color, poor ones, going to fight these poor farm boys from Vietnam? What are we fighting for? And he was so eloquent in all that. Okay, let's get to Foreman. George Foreman became on. He was huge. He was big. He was tough. He was strong. Won 13 straight fights, mostly by knockout, all but one or two by knockout. How in the world is Ali going to beat this guy? Ali was getting older. Foreman was favored to win. Ali wasn't afraid at all. He got in there, fought with him. He hit him. He dodged his Foreman's punches, which were deadly, huge, big knockout punches. And he dodged and dodged, and Ali knew how to skip and jump and dance to dodge and move away from these hard blows. And meanwhile, Ali was touching his stomach. He was hitting him in the ribs, the stomach area, over and over and over, the heart area. He was wearing him down. Foreman didn't know this. Foreman was just a tough guy that won all his fights, and he wasn't the most brilliant tactician or fighter, and neither was his handlers. Ali was playing the game. The theory that his corner was to wear him out, beat him in the chest and the stomach area, and tire him out, and then you could knock him out. And his thought was to knock him out in the eighth round, and I believe that was the round he knocked him out. So Foreman was coming in on him, and Ali could see he was tired, Foreman was. And Ali even said to him, "Do you have anything left?" Foreman said, "No, just do on it." So Ali proceeded to knock him out. Knocked him down, and he folded over in half, and then he put a punch all the way down and all the way up and knocked him back and out. He won the fight. Big upset. Another fighter, Larry Holmes, came on late. He beat Ali, because Ali was already old and shouldn't be fighting. One of the last four fights. Holmes later traveled the world and said that Ali was the greatest ambassador for world peace, for people. He was the most popular human being in the world. He was. And Holmes could see everywhere he went, especially in the African countries, the people would go nuts. People all over the world knew him. They surrounded him. They really saluted this man because he was a great, great ambassador for the world, for peace, against the systems. He was just great. He was the most famous athlete in the world, ever. Another one I think I mentioned earlier, well, I mentioned the ones that were activists, was Pele. Pele was the most famous athlete before Muhammad Ali. Pele was a world champion soccer player for Brazil back in the 50s and 60s, I believe it was. And Pele retired, and here comes along this young Cassius Clay turned Muhammad Ali. Concussions. I have some information about concussions. Now, hang in with me. This is Bobby Elias. This is our show on Let's Create a Better World and Healthy 18. Today we're talking about quality of life. We're talking about all the dangers of boxing, of football, of other sports we will mention, how people get concussions. Now here's our great, one of our researchers, our co-producer, put this out together, Stuart Hassel. Thank you, Stuart. Great stuff here. Concussions, brain injuries, symptoms, dementia. Dementia, there's a whole list of things that how people get dementia. There's a thing called, to pronounce this right, epidural hematoma, which is bleeding in the skull and the brain. Sometimes people think they have a concussion, but they actually have this bleeding in the brain. And that leads to worse death. It leads to a stroke later. It leads to everything bad. And this is worse than a concussion. There are so many, you know, concussions come from traumatic blows to the head. Injuries occur. Mild, even a mild hit in the head can do it. People don't realize this, but soccer is also dangerous. Do you ever see soccer, football? They all rule, they call it football, but the Americans, of course, they think they're the best, so they call it soccer. But it's the real football is all over the world, especially in Italy, in Brazil, in South America, Europe. It's all over the world. In fact, the Olympics are going to be in Rio in August. You're going to see some great, great things in that. But too many blows to the head, not good. Soccer players hit the ball with their head. That ball is coming fast. And yes, they hit it, but they're hitting it with their brain. With all the parts to their, the most precious part of their body is their brain, the intricate. The brain is like a computer. It's got so many little parts to it. It's precious. It does everything for you. It keeps you alive. It keeps you thinking. It does so many things. But you hit that ball in soccer with your head, no good. Boxing, you get hit in the head left and right every fight, not good. Football players, they get hit everywhere, not just in the head, but everywhere in the body, and they turn out to be very sick people when they get older. They die young. All right, so let's get back to concussions. I do get off track once in a while, but I've got so much good stuff that I believe that you need to hear. Okay, head injury. Sometimes the guy knows he's got an injury. The guy goes through a mild concussion, and he still continues to play. He should rest more. Should check his head, check his brain, check the concussion, get well before he goes back. But they're in a hurry to get back because they want to win, or they're getting paid more money. They don't want to risk losing their position. This is bad. Very, very bad. Okay, here's some symptoms after sustaining a blow to the head. Thanks to our co-producer that put this together for me. Even if it appears minor, here are some things that can happen. There's a whole bunch of them, so I'll run through them here. Headaches. Memory loss. That's the big one. Oh, my God. I mean, people, as they age after 40, 50, 60, they begin to get memory loss. I know a woman at age 25 is getting everything. Forget her keys, forget everything. And now she's older, much older, and she's got worse. Real, real bad. I'm sorry to say. Okay, stiffness of the neck. It's another one. It comes from getting hit in the head. Mental confusion. Strange behavior. Nausea. Vomiting. Loss of weakened and injuries or weakened arms and weakened legs. Hard to walk, hard to move your arms. Drowsiness, sleepiness, mental lapses, loss of appetite, ringing in the ear, speech impediments, bleeding from the ears or the nose. Now, that's really bad. It happens, but they just let it go. They think it's nothing, and they get worse and worse and worse. Eventually, brain concussion, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. The worst, of course, is Alzheimer's. Okay, so the loss. Okay, so the point of telling you all this is that as we gain older, and we do have people that are a little bit older, because they listen to the show, because we talk about aging quite a bit. Bottom line, take care of your brain. Eat better foods. Eat a plant-based diet. Stay away from coffee, alcohol, cigarettes, meat, dairy products, white processed foods like white rice. Instead, eat vegetables, fruits, organic as much as possible. Soups, juices, supplements, turmeric, quercetin, greens, more greens, green, what you call it. Anyway, Next, this, the list goes on and on of so many things you can take, the, all the beet products. Now, by the way, treatment for memory loss, memory problems, dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, one of the several, there's several, and we're going to get into that with the doctor. We're looking for, and we've already got one or two candidates to be on the show in a few weeks, hopefully, to interview them about the dangers of the brain and how people can avoid it, what they can do, what happens when they have a minor problem. We're talking about a little bit about that now, but we get deeper into it with a doctor. We're going to try to get an important doctor that knew something about Muhammad Ali, if possible. Not easy, but if possible. But we want to make sure that you understand that you want to eat the right foods, supplements. You want to have all the Bs, B complex, B12, B6. You want to have all that. And from what I said earlier, also, there are many things. I've got my list of things right here where I'm looking over my supplements and my herbs that I have myself. I take these every day. Green tea, that was the word I was looking for earlier. Green tea combined with turmeric and quercetin is powerful. It does so much wonders for you. You want to stay young? Do some of these things. This show is about that, so we talk about that a lot. So you want to hear more? Keep listening to this show every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm dedicated, so is our co-host and our staff. We want to give you the best of the best, and we're doing that more and more and more. I've gotten rave reviews from a lot of people that said that they listen to us every week. They love what we're doing. It's getting better and better. Why? Because we're getting better guests, super, super speakers on all the best issues. All right, so this is the show to listen to. All right, let's get to some more issues here about football. I'll give you my take, and then Spahn and I will talk more about football injuries. We'll talk about Junior Seau, a great athlete that killed himself. We'll get into that with Stefan Rudolph, our co-host in the show. But I want to say this about football. Too many athletes stay too long. They play when they're injured. They get a concussion and very little is done about it. They don't know any better. Even the trainers. The trainers should know better and do better. They don't. Not always. And sometimes the coach will say, let's get it back in there. Hurry up. Because they want to win. There's money involved. There's power involved. There's winning involved. And that's the bad part about sports. Before we talk about football, let me say, I mentioned soccer a while ago. Here are some of the horrible things going on around the world that affect animals and human life. The first one is the matadors. Bullfighting. Bullfighting is killing people. It kills the bull or it kills the matador sometimes, or one or the other gets injured. Usually it's the matador. He'll fall off the horse or and he'll get hurt. And sometimes when on the ground, that big, ugly animal, bull, will go in there and gore him, kill him. Yes, it's ugly. Yet people like this. People in different countries love a war, a fight of two people, an animal against a human. The Romans, they would get the Christians and throw them in this big pit. And the big fans would be out there hollering. They want to see that man killed by the lion. And the man has no chance. He has got no place to run. And the lion devours him. It's terrible. That's the kind of history in the world that we've had for many, many years, in many countries where, I mean, it's okay that animals kill each other because they have to eat. They eat each other, but not human beings know better, and they don't. It's an ugly world we live in. This show, and there are people out there want to do something about this. I saw several articles over the past few weeks, one in particular that was good, about there's something has to be done for people like Muhammad Ali, for boxers, football players, injuries to the head, concussions, and deeper injuries to the brain and the rest of the body. Something has to be done. You know, the Olympic Games, which are coming up in 2 months, in August in Rio, Brazil, when you see the boxers, they have these things they put on their headgear, and it protects their brain. They get hit in the head, it's going to hurt, and they're going to go down. But their brain will not get affected as badly. Maybe a little, but not anywhere near as badly as getting hit with a hard punch right to the brain. Matter of fact, sometimes when the guy's groggy and
starting to lose it before the referee stops it, the one guy will keep hitting him in the head to knock him out. And there's been times where that boxer will go in and he'll die in the training room, or he'll die as he's leaving the boxing arena. Yes, a lot more of that than you think. Or they'll have major, major, major injuries the rest of their, immediately and the rest of their lives that we don't hear about much. People want to make money. Let's be talking about bullfighting. It's not good. It's terrible. Now let's talk about dogfighting. It's not just here in the United States. It's in Latin American countries and around the world. Then I'm going to talk about China in a minute, but bullfighting. And now we're talking about dogfighting, okay? People will get together here in California where I live, in Riverside and in Irwindale, different outside of L.A. area, you're going to see and hear about these massive dogs, pit bulls, to fight against each other. And they bet on it. They'll give one a red color and another one a blue color or whatever. Or one is a light color, one is a dark color one. As long as they can. And these guys bet on who's going to win. They have a lot of money. And so they're cheering for one dog to kill the other. And eventually that happens. And sometimes the one that didn't get killed is injured for the rest of his life. And people love it. They pay money. They bet. And they cheer. And I'm sorry to say, they're crazy. This is a sick world we live in. Look at all the violence we have by the police, by the wars that we have. This country has so many places, bases all over the world where we're controlling with the bullies of the world, the U.S. It's ugly. Look at all the drones and all the killing from bombs and drones where they go into countries. And just because they're looking for one or two bad guys, they'll hit a whole village and kill 20, 50, 100 people, if they will. Here's another one for you. They called the disaster in Orlando the worst disaster in U.S. history. Hey, what about all the killings they did to blacks and Mexicans back in the day? Slaves. How about when they came over from England? One time in New England, in the state of New England, 700 Indians were there to greet the New Englanders, to greet them, offer them food. But these people, mostly pirates, mostly bad people that wanted to leave their country for a different life, would see all this jewelry and all these gems and things around their, minerals around their neck and around their hands. And they saw the beautiful women. So what'd they do? They said, well, let's get together. And they said that they are the chosen people. Yes, they had priests and pastors there. And they said, the Bible says that we are the chosen people. They would call themselves the chosen people. And these Indians or these blacks are, or Mexicans, are animals. They're savages. For the sake of the chosen people, we need to get rid of them. We need to kill them so we can live in harmony here. And they did. Back in the, that's one version of Thanksgiving where they came in from New England and they killed all 700 natives who were children, women, elders, killed them off for no reason other than they thought that they were the chosen people. And then they had a big dinner. Some people say that was the first Thanksgiving to celebrate coming to the land. There's other stories about how Thanksgiving came about. And we don't know the truth because we weren't around. You see so many different things in history books and Bibles about what happened. We don't know all this. There are so many different writers and vision people that wrote all this, and usually the people that wrote them were not good people. Yes, that's correct. So there's so many things in this world we have to talk about, and that's what I'm doing right now on this show. I'm bringing in Stefan Rudolph, our coach, in another couple minutes. Let me just wrap this up by saying football, soccer, boxing, sports where the people get beat up are not good. How about a baseball player, a pitcher, throwing the ball, and the ball hits the pitcher in the head? And even though the pitcher might have a little protection, it still affects him. He goes down, he's got a concussion. There's more injuries in all sports. Name the sport. Basketball, yes. Every sport has injuries. And they put it back in there too soon because they want to win. It's money. Money is the all-purpose evil. All right, so let's get to our second subject. And before I do that, I want to say next week we're going to have on Sonia Grace. She was on here about 5-6 months ago talking about not only things that were going to happen in the world, her predictions, and she's really good. I've sat down with her, and she is, everything she told me came true. She not only makes predictions, but she also has some ideas for solutions to the world, and they match not only mine, but I have three other super people that all, they're all women, great women that can see what's going to happen in the world. And we all figure this. Yes, there'll be disasters. There'll be climate change problems, global warming. There'll be weather changes and problems. There'll be money problems in the world, depressions, or it's going to be bad. But maybe not as bad as they say. That's the key. And here's what Sonia Grace is going to tell us on the show. The people are going to unite, they're going to get together, and they're going to find ways to solve the problems of the world, to make sure that it doesn't become as bad as it's heading towards. Because now we have social media. We have information going all over the world. The world is much smaller than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. People are together. The young people, look how they backed up Bernie Sanders. He's idealistic, and they're idealistic. And that's great. That's super. We need more people idealistic. And it's a crazy world. We're going to talk about how black people should not be voting for Hillary Clinton because she's done so much damage to black people around the world. How she had a coup against Honduras and how the things that the Clinton regime has done, the two of them, Bill and Hillary, have done all over the world to poor people, the money they made, the way they work with the war machine, the way they work with corporations. They've done damage all over this world. We have nobody good to vote for. We need to talk about a third party, and we're trying to get Jill Stein on this. If anybody knows how to get hold of Jill Stein, please call me. I'll give you my number right now. And also, I need more help on this show. I need people that are social media conscious, people with ideas for interviews of new people, of people on the issues that we talk about. I need help. We have help, but our help is thinning out, and we can only do so much. We want to get this to be the best show, one of the best shows in the world. We can do it with your help. Here's my phone number. Call me anytime. I'm here to help you and listen to you and get your ideas. My name is Bobby Elias. My phone number is 323-770-1925. Okay, so next week we'll have Sonia Grace, Solutions for the World. We feel there's going to be a golden age, a better world, 10, 15 years from now. It's too very difficult to establish time. All the great people that make predictions will tell you that. It's true. I know some of you don't believe in psychics or predictions, but I'm sorry to say that I have proof that it's real. We'll talk about that, too, in the future. Okay. Let's skip to Stefan Rudolph, our co-host, and we're going to talk about a great football player that grew up in his area, which is the San Diego area, and played for USC, Southern California Trojans college football team. He played for the San Diego Chargers, but he got hit a lot. He was a linebacker, a tough guy. He stayed in there, even though he got injured, he was one of those brave guys that he could play hurt. He didn't care. He wanted to win. That's not a good attitude. I know that. It's a macho attitude. Anyway, Stefan, tell us about what you're going to talk about, and then go right ahead with it. About football confessions, Stefan, and about
Bobby. Yeah, great to be here again. Awesome. You have some great information about health and wellness, and that's what we're here for. And in my experience, it's been pretty traumatic what I went through with the high school football injury, but I was able to overcome that. And ironically, at this time in my life, just about right before Junior Seau passed, I met him here in Oceanside, where he grew up, and he's from. I met him actually 2 days before he committed suicide. It was at a restaurant in Oceanside, and I introduced myself. He was very kind of down and dismal. You could see he was talking to a friend about his life and was not very up on things. And when I found out 2 days later that he committed suicide, I could see it in him. And my point being, what this does to us is all the hundreds, if not thousands, of traumatic concussions that he had. And when I say that, I mean they're called the small injuries, like the small malls, what they say in epilepsy, compared to grand malls. Mm-hmm. When you are, you know, seeing stars, when you are dizzy, we had that all the time in my high school football career. I was experiencing that, and I wasn't familiar with what that was. And I'm sure Junior Seau went through hundreds, if not thousands, of those in his young career as in junior high, high school, all the way through college, of course, in the NFL. And that causes PTSD, basically post-traumatic stress disorder, just like in war and in fighting. And all the voices or whatever he was hearing in his head were huge, because what I went through was only a minimal amount. I had one major concussion and then two or three in junior high school. But my point being, too, about junior sale and what we have to do for athletes these days, young kids, and our parents out there, the parents have to be aware of what's going on when they're playing football, and definitely get them off the field. That's a rule now, of course. You know, they take their helmets away in the NFL when they have some type of concussion. But we need to do this for our kids out there, too, and especially when you notice the dizziness, the slurred speech, anything like that, they have to be in the hospital right away. And what we did in the 80s and, of course, in the 90s was just pass it by and push them out in the field again to keep battling, you know, and keep trying to win. That's about the ego and what we do to win in sports. And our kids get caught up in this, and they can end up like Sal, very successful in life when it comes to financially and in the stardom and the fame. But look what happens. And we have more and more athletes killing themselves. Will Smith has a movie out that came out called Concussion. And I would highly recommend that. That was an awesome movie talking about epilepsy and the severity of what happens in sports, and especially in football. And the soccer, as Bobby mentioned here, with the ball coming in at rocket speed, hitting our head and just knocking us out, literally. Sometimes it does happen. And what I was doing, Bobby, too, is researching here for our show about the injuries for boxing. And also, people won't believe this, but cheerleading itself is a very intense sport when these young girls are competing against each other, and they're being thrown many feet up in the air. They're suffering head injuries, traumatic brain injuries. And what I found out in 2010 from the head and neck injuries accounted for, it was 1,579 concussions in 2010, as an example, were suffered by just cheerleading. 361 concussions, and that word concussion with a T is a region of injured tissue or skin in which blood builds up and has been ruptured. So it's like a bruise. So when these kids are being thrown around, these young cheerleaders, and competing against each other, it's really traumatic that what can happen if when they get dropped, you know, in the field, and when they get injured like this. So to our listeners, just be aware and be careful out there. Be cautious, because what I went through, I ended up in brain surgery in 2007 and had to go through a lot of holistic healing. That's how I ended up getting better. But to a lot of the people, they're not aware of this, and it also is affected by their health, their diet. If they do have epilepsy or any type of seizures and they're not eating properly, Bobby and I always talk about health and wellness here, right, and what we're eating as far as fast food and the other side effects. Junior Seau was an awesome man and a great person, but he also wants us to learn. That's why he shot himself in the heart, and he wanted his brain tested. A lot of these athletes, you'll see these suicides, they're killing themselves through the heart and not the brain, because they know they have this some type of PTSD and they want this tested. So let's do all this together and work together through, you know, creating a better world, as we say. And that's what I have to help our listeners out there, to be more aware of what you're doing out there in sports and life overall.
Right. Steph, can you elaborate just a little more? You had a chance to see, because you were in the area, Junior Seau playing football, and you also got a chance to meet him. And you know, you heard more stories about him than most of us. Tell us just a little more background about Junior Seau. I know this, he had a hard, big heart, and he played hard, and he must have played through injuries. He was that type of guy. Tell us a little more about him if you have any more information about Junior Seau,
yeah,
what kind of guy he was.
Yeah, definitely. He grew up in Oceanside. I'm from Escondido here in North County, San Diego, just about 20 minutes east of here of Oceanside. And I was three years younger than him, so I didn't see him play, but everything I heard about him when I was in junior high school was amazing. And his intensity, his level, his heart, his desire to just rocket through people, knock them on their butts and get that ball loose, get some touchdowns up from the defense. It was intense, and that's why he was so successful at USC and on to the NFL. His heart, his desire, his passion, everything was there to help his team win, which is great. It's a great part of sports. You love it. You want to win the championship. He played in Jack Murphy Stadium, which is now Qualcomm. back in the day. I played there in 88 as well. And I see the intensity that he had, though. When I was young, he was my superhero. I had posters of him on the wall, and everybody wanted to be like him. But then when we get older, you see what can happen. So we, at a younger age, and the parents out there have to be more aware of what to do and how to program our children, is what I say, you know, program their minds to be aware of health and fitness, but not to be so intense, because he had the passion and desire but overdid it. You know, there has to be moderation when it comes to living a successful life as an athlete and knowing when to call it quits. Like you said, Bobby, with Ali in that area, you know, he didn't know when to call it quit, and look what happened. And Seau and other athletes, that's all we know, is our passion to succeed when we're young in the physical elements of sports. And when we overdo it, we underdo it, we end up under 6 feet under eventually, and it's not good. We have to be aware of what's going on in our mind.
And Stefan, if I may interject, you know, also money and the owners of the team, the coach of the teams, these guys are macho. They're tough guys. That's all they care about is winning, number one, and also some of them care about making money. And they keep these stars in the game even though they know they're a little bit injured. And these guys are macho. These players, a lot of them, baseball players, play all year. They play 162 games. You think they're not already breaking down all there in that period? They still have injuries, but they still play. And I understand that. Baseball isn't as dangerous as the other sports, but it is also. But the point is, money, greed, and macho-ness. These things all add up to early injuries and a horrible life of living with hell, all these injuries you got. You know, it's almost like Vietnam veterans. Not as bad as Vietnam veterans, but they come back the worst. But that's kind of the society we live in, Stefan. And anyway, any more thoughts about football, concussions, or juju in your sale?
Yeah, I want to let the listeners know to also just be aware of every sport that your child's playing. If you Google it, you can find information. Of course, it's boxing, as we mentioned, cheerleading, but cycling can be dangerous, you know, with injuries like that. Football is a big one, but there's all kinds of sports that we have to be careful in. So just for our listeners, when you're raising your children and teaching them about this, just have them be aware and communication is the key to success. You know, let them know that they should be telling you as a parent that, hey, I had an injury today, or I fell down and bumped my head, because that can start leading to epilepsy later in life. They might not know it now, but they might see it in 5 years, 10 years. Always be aware of what's going on around you, and communication is the key to success in family, relationships, and life.
You know, Stefan, football is the number one sport in this country. It's violent. People love violence. They love hitting. They love. They just love it. They love, because it's a great sport. People bet on it heavily, and it's really involved. But one thing about football that we should note, and that is that from the field to the pros, to the college ranks, high school ranks, and even in the youngest age group playing football when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old with these helmets on, these people are not being given enough water. You should have to drink water. People have gotten very sick and fallen apart, fainted, had to be taken to the hospital because they didn't drink water. And, you know, the trouble is, Stefan, some of the coaches and the team managers, they don't want them to drink water. They say, no, get out there and play. They think it's not good. It's going to be harm their playing ability or something. It's crazy. It's nuts. They're so backwards. Your thoughts on that?
I apologize, Bobby. You were cutting out there. Yeah. And the thoughts.
That's okay. That's okay. Water, the athletes drink a lot of water. And no, they don't drink enough water. They should drink more water before they go on the
field. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's the hydration level that I was at. I was very dehydrated at points, too. So we definitely have to have that water with us and in us and a part of us, because the hydration level is what was causing my epilepsy when I was in, you know, I was in the restaurant bar industry. I was drinking, but I ended up dehydrated a lot because of my lifestyle. And when athletes are over pushing themselves too much, they become dehydrated, and that causes the epilepsy. It causes the seizures. And what that water is such a key element to us and what we know and how we live our life. So we definitely have to do that.
And that's another element besides the thing we're talking about, concussions and about hitting the head. But the water issue is big, and it's been brought up. And it's not brought up enough. And these things are not Now it was covered up by the owners and by the football people. The big people that make all the money, they don't care about that. They don't care about the athletes. All they care about is money. They do. Greed. And it's just bad. They don't care if a player is injured badly. The hell with it. Put it back in there. They don't care. It's just, instead of really caring about the athletes when he's sick and he's injured, they should take care of him better. You can keep him out of the game for a while longer, but they don't because of money, because of winning and greed. It's really bad, Stefan. Any more thoughts on your end as far as your own, what you want to do? Anything else? We still have a few more minutes before we close out. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Bobby. That's definitely, the way you're discussing it is awesome, because this is what happens here, is we have to be knowledgeable on how to play sports, first of all, who we're playing with, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. It shouldn't be taken control of by the ego to push ourselves in sports to a limit that we cannot handle. When we push ourselves, I have a really good friend now. She was a track athlete, and she, in college, pushed herself in as far as dehydration, and she said people did have seizures even in track. You know, it wasn't a brain injury, but it was dehydration. So to our listeners, know that water is the key element to life. Of course, how our body is made up of all water and how we are functioning, we need this water, and always be drinking. You know, you can't, I really push this about the epilepsy and life in general. Always be drinking fresh distilled water and just as much water as you can throughout the day to keep going. And as you mentioned, Bobby, you always talk about this, so it's great to be a part of your show and helping others.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. And in closing out, I want to let our listeners know that we're here to help you. So please, I'll give my number out again, and to call me if you have any ideas. If we have any volunteers who want to help out a little with social media or learn the radio business, I don't get paid. Stefan doesn't get paid. Our producers don't get paid here in L.A., Los Angeles. But you don't have to be in L.A. You can be anywhere in the country or world, as long as we can communicate on the phone or even online. But we're willing to work with people and bring out more good information. So here's my phone number once again. My name is Bobby Elias. Our show is Healthy Aging and Let's Create a Better World. And my phone number, 323-770-1925. That's 323-770-1925. Stefan, this is really great. All the things we're talking about and what you knew about Junior Seau, the guy had a great heart. He was a wonderful man. And how his life got ruined from all the hitting, the injuries, the brain injuries, and how he couldn't take it anymore. He had a major gambling issue, too, I think you told me. Can you elaborate on that or any other little tidbits about his life?
Yeah, when I found out that Junior Seau, he had passed, and I did some research on it, I didn't know how much of a problem he had with gambling, and he was over $400,000 in debt into a casino in Vegas, and it was the stressful life of him, you know, being a successful athlete and doing well financially, and then the addiction that we have as athletes to always succeed, always do more, and especially with the rush, you know, that you get in the NFL from hitting people, from it's just the energy that he gets. He wanted to continue that in life, and the gambling became a major addiction. And he ended up going pretty much financially under. It caused depression and everything else with his PTSD. He was not doing well. He was stressed and everything else with the epilepsy, or not epilepsy, but the brain injuries that he had. It all caused those severe depressions. So we really have to be aware of that. And, you know, Seau was an awesome man. And what we have to do is just live a healthy life and everything in moderation. Again, that's the key.
Right. And, you know, we have an opening 2 weeks from now for a radio show. I would like to, maybe all of us can work together to try to find someone that did the movie Concussion. You know, that movie only was out 2 weeks, and then you didn't hear anything else about it. That's because I'm pretty sure that the football people didn't want us to hear about it because they don't want to hear anything negative about their game because that causes money. So this is how we live in this country. But the movie Concussion, it's a great movie. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. But I think we need to get somebody that knows about the movie, somebody that was in it, the Stolen Stars, or the producer, director, somebody that can tell us more about the inside story, a doctor that was involved with them. That's what we have to get. We'll try. We can't do everything, and we're so far booked with so many things that we have to do, all of us. And this is.
And you know, from that movie, Bobby, Will Smith is a great person to. I know probably be impossible to talk to him, but what he told us in that movie was the NFL was trying to hide this, and they were trying to hide all the concussions because of the money that they were making. They did not want to open up and tell people about this. So.
Yeah, I know. I thought for a minute I heard some music come on, because we still have another 5 minutes at least before the music comes on, we're going to end the show. But let's just talk about you can hold up on music for a few more minutes, and great, our engineer. I want to thank Jason, the PRN director. I want to thank Jesse, our engineer. Thank Stefan, Rudolph, the co-host. I want to thank Stuart. Did a lot of late work on research on concussions. Lydia, our social producer. I want to thank Gary Nall for putting the station together. I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening in. And if I've got another 1 or 2 minutes, anything else you want to say?
Yeah.